Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. To take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament passage of the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 21. This is just a special additional message to our series of the 12 disciples. Earlier, we did a character study on all the 12 disciples, learning about them that they weren't just globs of people, nameless, faceless people, but each one of them had their own personalities, their own traits, their own strengths, their own weaknesses. We watched them fail. We watched them succeed. We watched where they were chosen to follow after the Lord. And we saw a little bit about how God chose individuals and not cookie cutter Christians. As we now finish up this series, we now have one just exploring the disciples, as Jesus Christ has already died on the cross. He's buried for 3 days, and then he rose again, and his interactions with the disciples in the aftermath of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We pick this up in the Gospel record of John in chapter 21. The Gospel record of John chapter 21, and notice with me starting at verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. And there were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came into a little ship, for they were not far from land, as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire and coals, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, so that there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth to them, and the fish likewise. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So that when they dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that when thou were young, thou girdest thyself, and walking after thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt be stretched forth thy hands, and another gird thee, and carry thee whither thou would not. This he spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith unto the Lord, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad the brethren, saying that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him that he shall not die, but if thou will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple that testifieth of these things and wrote of these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there is also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were to be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that Jesus says three different times to Simon Peter? Notice with me in verse number 15, lovest thou me? Once again, in verse number 16, lovest thou me? Once again, in verse 17, lovest thou me? And then, of course, Peter was grieved because of lovest thou me? And with the Lord's help, we're going to preach a message on a phrase that's used four times in three questions that Jesus asked. Lovest thou me? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you'd give grace and mercy. Help us to give understanding. Help open up this passage and draw us close to you now. Help us to understand what you were asking of Peter, what your purpose was, the context, that we ourselves could answer the question and see what you were trying to get across and make a decision to truly follow after you. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us even now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to here, we could see that Jesus asked three different times, lovest thou me? And with each one of these questions, there was a teaching. There was something that the Lord Jesus Christ was attempting to get across to Peter. With this, let's do the first question and learn what he was getting across to Peter. If you love me, forsake your fish. If you love me, forsake your fish. Now, we need some context to really understand this. Understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ called Peter, Peter was part of a business venture. He was a successful business owner. He was a fisherman. He and his brother had worked together. In fact, James and John were partners who owned their own business, who all of them were fishermen. That was their full-time occupation. When the Lord Jesus Christ met Peter, they had a bad night. Jesus told him to put the net on the other side. He said, nets, plural. But they only dropped one. They dropped one and they had the most successful fishing day they've ever had. And in the midst of the most successful day of their business, Jesus called him and said, follow after me. And Peter quit his job, quit his business on the most successful day his business ever had to follow after the Lord. He followed after the Lord for 3.5 years and learned from him. Jesus trained him. Then the worst thing that could ever happen happened. Jesus was arrested. Jesus was put on a false trial. And in that false trial, an important event happened with Peter. Before Jesus was arrested, Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny Jesus 3 times. And during Jesus' false trial, as it was preparing for that, Peter indeed denied the Lord three times. He was supposed to be the leader of the disciples, but he denied Jesus three times. We all know that guilt is a horrible thing. Guilt can cause you to respond poorly when you should be rejoicing. Guilt takes out and sucks out all the life out of people. We understand there's a difference between conviction and guilt. Conviction is something that God does to bring us closer to Him, to change behavior. But once it's taken care of, He doesn't bring it up again. Praise the Lord that God doesn't bring stuff up. Guilt is something we put upon ourselves because we won't forgive ourselves or let us go. For Peter, he denied the Lord. Jesus was crucified, put up on the cross. That was horrible. They thought everything was over, even though Jesus told him over and over that he had to die and he was going to rise again the third day. Jesus did rise again the third day, but because of guilt, what should have been the greatest victory in Peter's life still was washed over. Jesus, who was his master, who was God robed in flesh, rose again and was alive forevermore. That should be the greatest day. But guilt sucked all of that out. And even though they saw Jesus, they'd already seen Jesus twice previously, they knew he was alive. That guilt ate up Peter. Notice with me in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, that's the Sea of Galilee, and on this wise showed himself. So here it gives an introductory statement. Let me tell you what this paragraph's going to be about. That this is where Jesus showed himself. Here's the events, verse 2. And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. So let's count them up. Simon, Thomas, Nathanael, James and John, and two other disciples. That's 7. And Peter grabbed 7 of the disciples. Remember, he's the leader. Notice what he says, verse 3. And Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a fishing. Now, when he said, I go a fishing, he didn't say, let's go take a break and go by the creek. What he did say is, I quit the ministry. I failed so much. How can God even use me? I'm going back to the life I knew. I'm going back to being a fisherman. I'm quitting and I'm going back to my business. And 6 other disciples said, we go with you. Now, that's a lot of influence. They all quit Jesus' disciples. They quit the ministry. We're no longer going to be preachers. We're no longer going to be a part of church. We quit and we're going back. You know, guilt eats people up and they make foolish decisions. Now, we can look in the light of history and knowing who Peter is and say, this is the mistake. What are you thinking? He's not thinking, he's feeling. And guilt ate him up. And even though he should be living in victory because Jesus is alive forevermore, he's eaten up with guilt, cannot face it, and he quits the ministry, quits the Lord, and he goes a fishing. He starts a fishing business, and guess what? We're doing better off because I've got 6 employees. Let's go in together. We're already used to working with each other. Let's go to work. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they saith unto him, we go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night caught nothing. So, by the way, this isn't people who said, well, I've never fished before, let me try this out. These 4 of them at least were successful fishermen. Successful business owners. This was something they were used to doing. And it's they didn't forget over the last 3.5 years. It's ingrained in them. This was their job, their profession. And they went all night and went fishing, did everything they knew they were supposed to. And it didn't work out. By the way, it was of a kindness that God didn't let to work out. Sometimes our biggest failures is when we succeed outside of God's will. If he succeeded during this time, it would have encouraged him to stay quit. But Jesus loved him so much that he failed in his business. Jesus wasn't being mean to him. He was being kind to him. He's getting his attention because he was no longer to be a fisher of fish. The Lord made him to be a fisher of men. Verse 5, Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew it not was him. So there's a distance away. Jesus sees them. They don't recognize it's Jesus. Jesus looks up. Children, do you have any meat? They answered, no. He said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast thereof, and now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fishes. Now, think about this. How many men do they have on the ship? Seven. Now, these aren't like wimpy guys. There's so many fish, they can't pull them in. And they're like, wow, we just put the net in. All these fishies jumped in. It's almost like that Sesame Street thing. Here, fishy, fishy, fishy. I mean, they just started they filled them up. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, by the way, that's John, who is the human penman here. He's not bringing attention to himself, but this is powerful. The one that Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. So John looks, he recognizes him first. Hey, Peter, I think it's Jesus. Jesus was always a reactionary person. He responds. So what does he respond? He heard that it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat because he was naked. Now, don't be afraid here. The idea of nakedness in the Bible is exposing of thighs. So he was just probably wearing shorts out there fishing all night, working hard. When he realized it was the Lord, he put over his cloak and jumped in the water. He didn't wait for the ship to go. I would have waited for the ship to go. Especially if I'm putting on a robe underneath it. But he jumped in and just took off. It's Jesus. I got to get to Jesus. Right? Meanwhile, the boat's taking its time to get back in. Probably still gets them about the same time. But Peter's so excited and so emotional. He jumps in. It's Jesus. And he goes after him. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard it, the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat on him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it was as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. There's so many fishes, they're trying to get the boat to get back to shore, trying to get the fish with them. And as soon as they come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish they laid on, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring of the fishes which you have now caught. Now Jesus already had breakfast for them. Already had it set up for them. Already organized. He had already had everything prepared. Simon Peter went up and drew the net. Now remember, this is so heavy that the other six guys can't carry it. Just to show what a big guy Peter was, he just picked up the net by himself. Now let's calculate. The Bible says that there's 153 fish. If each one of them weighed 4 pounds apiece, you know what we have here? Is that we have close to 600 pounds. This is a big guy. He's strong. You guys are taking too long. None of them helped him out. He picked up 600 pounds, just like nothing. Brought it up. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, Peter was not a wimp of a guy. This is a guy who's strong, who worked all of his life. Picks it up and brings it over, and the net wasn't broken. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto him, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who is thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth to them, and the fish likewise. And now this is the third time which Jesus showed himself and his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? Now these here is a pronoun. It's taking the place of a noun. And oftentimes we read this and we don't replace it. What are these? Peter, lovest me more than these. Well, we need to figure out what these are. What is he looking at? Is he pointing the disciples and said, hey, Peter, you love me more than these numbskulls? Well, that's an easy no. You know, I don't love of course I love you more than these goofballs. No, what is it? Well, he's looking at the fish. Remember, Peter just quit his ministry job and went back to his old business. He went back to what was familiar. He went back to what he thought he could do. Jesus says, this fish on the fire. He just brought these fish here. Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your old life? Do you love me more than your hobbies? Do you love me more than what your life used to be? You know, before we came to know the Lord, our life was something. You invested your life in something. Maybe some people invested their life in their work. Some people invested their life in their hobby. Some people invested their life in their books, meaning that I love books and I just forget all the rest of the world and I just read my books and just, I want to be there. What is it before your life that Jesus can say, do you love me more than these? It's very hard because our old life, there were things that we loved. Movies, music, hobbies, children. Do you love me more than these? Now, when you get the these right, that becomes a harder question. Because what is it that you had loved and that your life was all about? Maybe it was movies, that you were just a movie aficionado, that you, everything that came out, you were there, you watched it. Do you love me more than these? Well, does that mean that I'd rather go to church and read the Bible than watch a movie? Well, if you love movies, that's a hard thing to ask. Maybe you grew up and you didn't like people. People were mean to you, so you went to books and you retreated to books and they became your escape. They were your way out. And that's how you dealt with things, is you just retreated and went to your books. Do you love me more than these? Well, that's hard if books were your best friend growing up. Hard if that was your way of escaping the horrible life that you were around. Do you love me more than these? Some people found a job that they like and they invested in that job and they put every ounce into that job. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your past job, your past hobbies? Do you love me more than these? Now, this is not a question most people can answer as an affirmative yes. But remember that Jesus is taking Peter to be the leader. And if he's going to be the leader, if he's going to be the servant he ought to be, then he has to make a choice. Do you love Jesus more than these? That's an interesting question. When Jesus asked, do you love me more than these? The word love, in English, we don't have a lot of words for love. But in other languages, especially Greek, they have more than one. The word love that Jesus asked is the word agape. The word agape carries the idea of a sacrificial love. Oftentimes in the Bible, it is used as the word charity, just to show it's a different type of love. But this type of love, agape love, is a love that cost me something with no hope or return. Now we step it up a little bit more. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these, even if you don't get anything back? Well, that changes things even worse. We're willing to give up our hobbies, our thing that we love the more, if we're going to get something back from it. You're willing to give up the books that kept you safe if you're going to get something better back. You're willing to give up movies that you loved if you get something better back. Jesus said, no, no, no. Do you love me more than these? Are you willing to get nothing back in return for giving these up and following after me? Well, that's a different question altogether. And we could see that with how Peter answers. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me more than these? He saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. When he uses the word love, when Peter uses the word love, it's not the same love that Jesus used. Jesus used the word agape, which means a love that cost you something with no hope of return. Peter used the word phileo, which is a type of love, which is a responsive love. It says, I love you because you love me. Jesus, I have to be honest with you. I don't love you with a love that cost me something with no hope of return. I love you with a responsive love. I love you because you love me. I love you back. Well, that's a different type of love. We all have people that we love because they're easy to love. We get something back from them. Whether it's feelings or something tangible, it's easy to love those people. It's very hard to love people that cost you something and you don't get anything back from them. Jesus said, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your hobby, even if you don't get anything back? Do you love me more than your job that fulfilled you? Are you willing to forsake that and love me more, even if you don't get that same fulfillment back? This changes the conversation because it's not a responsive love. But Peter's being honest and saying, I love you. I have a responsive love, but I don't have that type of love. Jesus said, feed my lambs. The idea of feeding the lambs carries the idea of caring for the flock. That just like baby lambs, they need food. So feed the lambs, making sure they're taken care of. Which brings me to the second thing. If you love me, feed my sheep. So when Jesus first asked, do you love me more than these? Peter had to respond, I love you, but not the same type of love. But I do love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You have a responsibility to take care, to make sure that the baby lambs are taken care of, that they're fed, that they have what they need. I'm putting you in charge, Peter, and you're responsible to make sure that they have enough food, enough substance to grow and become strong. Jesus then asked a second time, verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my sheep. So a second time, Jesus uses the word agape. Do you agape me? Do you love me with a love that cost you something with no hope of return? Peter once again responded with a phileo. I love you, but not the same type of love. I love you as a responsive. You've done so much for me, Jesus, and I love you because of that. But I'm not willing to quite say that I love you, that it's going to cost me something with no hope of return. I'm not there. I'm being honest with you, Lord. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, sheep are different than lambs. Lambs are more helpless. Sheep need more than just food. They need time and attention. They need care. This carries more of the idea of shepherding there. He says, feed my sheep. Peter, I'm putting you in charge. You're going to be in charge of this local church. And I want you to be a shepherd to these people. If you love me, you're going to prove it by taking care of the people, the flock that I give to you. Not just feeding them food, but taking care of them, guarding them, warning them, spending the time with them that's needed for their care, for their guidance. When Jesus asked Peter a third time, Jesus says in verse 17, he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now the word love here, Jesus now switches. Instead of using agape like the first two times, he now uses the word phileo, which says, do you have, Peter, do you have a responsive love to me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? Now, Jesus said, do you love me? First of all, do you love me with a love that cost you something? Don't know if I'm quite there yet. Do you love me with a love that cost you something? Not quite there yet. Then how about this? Do you love me with a responsive love? And he's brokenheartedness because he recognizes, all right, Jesus is at least meeting me there. I'm not where I'm supposed to, and I recognize I'm brokenhearted. I think I can honestly say, Jesus, I do love you with this type of love, a responsive love. I'm brokenhearted, but that's where I'm at. And I'm agreeing, Lord, thou knowest all things. I knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Once again, this is establishing him as the under shepherd, the pastor of that church to take care of them. This was a profound moment of grace where Jesus met down and said, I understand where you're at. I want you to recognize where you're at. And I want you, because of how much love and grace I showed you, you turn around and use that love for others. Now, remember, Peter got caught quitting the ministry. Peter was done. And Jesus took him back. And not only took him back, he took him back after Peter publicly denied Jesus three times. Remember the thing that Peter was guilty about? You know what Jesus is doing? is that he's getting away that guilt and trying to say, listen, how much I love you and I still want to use you. Don't quit on me now, Peter. I got plans for you. I love you and I'm giving you grace and I have something for you to do. And I want you to do it because you love me, meaning that because of how much love and grace I showed you, I want you to respond by taking care of these people and placing in your charge. Lovest thou me? Peter was not condemned for his shortcomings, but instead he's now trusted with a vital task. Which brings us to the third time. Jesus asked three questions. The first one, he was asking, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your hobbies? Do you love me more than these things? Second time, do you love me? Because you love me, I have something for you to do. I want you to respond to me. I want you to do these things because of the love and grace that I've shown to you. Third thing, if you love me, follow me. If you love me, follow me. Notice as the conversation now turns in verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walk whither where thou wouldest. But now, when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. So he says, Peter, when you're a baby Christian, you just did whatever you wanted to, like we all do. He says, but I want you to follow me. And because you follow me, it's going to take you to places you don't want to go. What do you mean? Well, notice with me in verse number 19. This spake he, Jesus, signifying of what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. He says, Peter, let me tell you what's going to happen. He says, you are going to be killed. In fact, tradition tells us that Peter was crucified upside down. Now, crucifixion was one of the worst deaths, but he didn't want to die just like Jesus did, so they took the cross and put him upside down and let him die. A painful, long death. It usually took 3 days for someone to die on the cross, and they would die of suffocation. Can you imagine for 3 days not being able to breathe until your body finally shuts down? Now I want you to think about being told, hey, this is how you're going to die if you follow me. You might want to think for a second. And Jesus said, follow me. If thou lovest me, follow me. Peter, I've done so much for you. I died on the cross for you. Are you willing to follow me no matter if it leads to your death? You know, we're all willing to say, I'm willing to follow Christ if it benefits me. I'll follow Christ if he makes my life better. I'll follow Christ if it makes my life happier. Are you still willing to follow him even if that doesn't happen? That's what Jesus is saying. Do you love me? Seeing everything I've done for you, are you willing to follow me even if it cost you your life? Peter, I'm letting you know this is how you're going to die. Now, Peter was still enough flesh. He wasn't a super Christian, didn't turn over yet. His first response was, what about him? You just said how I died. What about this guy? This is what he said, verse 20. Peter didn't say, yes, sir, following me. His first response was, what about him? Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple who Jesus loved following, which leaned at his breast during supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed, talking about John, letting everyone know it's talking about John. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Well, you talk about me dying on the cross, and I don't want that. What about this guy? Listen, I'm willing to make a deal with you, and I'm willing to follow you as long as I know what happens to this guy. You know, if this guy is living a great life and you want me to die, I may have to think about this for a second. You know, when you start looking at other people, it'll ruin your ministry. Looking at other people and start saying, well, it's not fair. How come this guy has it better than me? And how come this guy over there? Well, just look at me. Why do I have to suffer? Why everyone else? And that's always how it looks in our perspective, is that everyone else is doing better than us and we're the ones suffering, and just it's poor us. Yeah, we'll just let you know, Peter's not fixed yet. What about this guy? you're going to let me die on a cross where I don't want to go. What about him? Your favorite. Jesus, 22, Jesus saith to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He says, Peter, what if I was to tell you that he wasn't going to die until he saw me? What's that to you? Why would that change anything, knowing about what my plan is for someone else? I didn't say follow me if that guy's plan looks good, or follow me if that guy has a worse life than you. I asked, will you follow me no matter what because of how much I love you? Don't worry about everybody else. What if I said this guy is not going to die until he sees me? What of it? Is that going to change your thinking? By the way, that's exactly what kids do. You know when kids ask why, they're not looking for a reason. They're looking for you to change their mind. They want you to change your mind. They're trying to manipulate you. They should do it just because you told them so. Well, the same thing here. Peter should be just saying yes. It doesn't matter what the reasoning is. You know, you can explain to a child the why and they don't care. If you ever tried it, it just doesn't work. You know, they're still going to ask why after you give them the explanation. Because they don't want a reason. They want to get out of it. Just because I told you so is a biblical answer according to Proverbs. And that's what Jesus is looking for. I don't care about everybody else. What if I was to say he's not going to die till he sees me come back? So what? Are you going to follow me? Then went around the saying abroad, the brethren, that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus not said unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, notice there's a distinction. Jesus didn't say that John's not going to die. He just said he's not going to die until he sees Jesus come back. By the way, John did. In the book of Revelation, John got to be a participant of the rapture, and he was an eyewitness of Jesus coming back. He was just out of time. When, by the way, the gospel record of John is written at 90 AD, 60 years after this event, all the rest of the disciples are gone. Jesus did keep his word. John did die, but because they misunderstood what Jesus said, number 23, where it says, and the saying went abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. So much so that even after John did die, they said that he was still alive. There was rumors on for years and years and years that John didn't die because Jesus said he wasn't going to die. That's not what Jesus said. They said until he saw Jesus come back, and John was an eyewitness. That's what Revelation is the book of Revelation is John quickly writing down everything he's seeing. And he got to see Jesus come back, just out of time. But the point was, stop looking at other people. Are you willing to follow me, even if it seems nothing good is happening to you, but everyone else is getting the blessings? If you love me, follow me. Now, this gives us encouragement for all of us. As we finish up the 12 disciples, that those disciples were men chosen by God to change the world. And God still wants to use people to turn the world upside down. And the big qualification is not how well we preach, how well we witness, how well we influence people, how big we smile, how many teeth we have that show when we smile. It's not how rich you are, how influential you are. The simple thing is, will you follow me? Will you follow me because you love me more than your past hobby and your past events? Will you love me enough to follow me and take care of the people that I placed in it? Remember, ministry is not things, ministry is people. And will you follow me despite of what else happens to everyone else? If you love me, follow me. The question is for you. What are you going to do with Jesus? Some of you are still not surrendered. After all that Jesus has done for you, he's died on the cross. He brought someone with you with a message and showed you from the Bible how you could receive Christ as your Savior. Jesus has answered your prayers and proving himself over and over and over. What more does he have to do? And some of you have said, I'm still choosing my movies, my hobbies, my job. Those things are more important to me than you. There are some people that says, I'm not willing to follow after you, Lord, because of what everyone else is going for. I'm not willing to suffer. I want to make sure before I follow you, everything is going to be great. Everything is roses. Everything is sunshine, puppy dog tails, rainbows. Listen, there's no such animal. There's no easy way to follow God. Jesus wants to know, are you willing to follow him, whether good times or bad? Are you willing to follow him because of what he has already done for you? That was the decision that had to be made for the disciples. They were now at decision-making time. Not following after Christ because of his miracles, not following after Christ because he supplied bread and food, not following after Christ just because it was exciting. Are you willing to follow after Christ even if it costs you something? Are you willing to follow after Christ even if it's inconvenient? Are you willing to follow after Christ if it means leaving your old life behind? Are you willing to do it because he loved you and you're responding properly to that love? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And Lord, thank you for this special day. There's a lot of things that went on and we want to finish off strong. Lord, you have loved us so much. You died on the cross. You've answered prayers. You've led us to be saved. You've answered, done miracles. You've done things to prove yourself. Help us now to respond properly to you. Without a doubt, there are people in here that need to make that decision. You've been riding the fence. You've been just showing up just because it's expected. But you've never made the choice to follow after Christ. You've never surrendered to him, saying, no matter what, good times or bad, I'm going to follow after you. Lord, I'm asking you to give people courage and bravery to make the proper response because of how much you've already loved us. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.